Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This podcast is sponsored by Every Dot Black Entrepreneurs Podcasting Network. Our foundation scripture today comes from 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, the 5th and the 6th verses. And it reads, "Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks of no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth." The Storytelling Time podcast this week is the 8th story taken from the 5th chapter of the book, Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People. The chapter title is Farmer's Market. The title of the podcast today is Love Personified. Before I start with our story, I'd like to share some information I gave on a previous podcast about the manner in which you can proceed in writing your book. Take a listen. One way to become successful as an author is to read. But with today's technology, you really don't have to read the story yourself. You can listen to a story being read by someone else. That's why audiobooks are growing in popularity. But the effect is the same. You still are taking into your conscious mind the contents of a story, whether you read the story yourself or listen to someone else through an audiobook. So, when you listen to me reading the stories in my book each week, think of it as listening to an audio edition of the book. Now, I still want to encourage you to get a copy of the book, and you can always get a copy by going to Amazon.com. You can also contact me, WilliamPorter4995@yahoo.com, if you'd like a copy from me. And one difference is that I can autograph it, and it'll be a few dollars less than if you were to contact Amazon. But regardless, whether you get it from Amazon.com or if you get it directly from me, you should have it within a couple of weeks. So go to my website, WilliamPorterLife.com, to get more details about purchasing items. Welcome back. Love was certainly personified in Jerry's life that was shown by the events that led him toward getting the one thing that he really desired to have, a truck to assist him on his farm. Jerry eventually returned home from his walk, which ended up at a vehicle dealership where he eventually purchased the truck. Jerry had some good news for Karma when he got home. He had left the truck at the dealership to have some final maintenance done to it. He would return to pick it up later. After walking back home, singing with joy the whole way, he entered the house and went straight to where Karma was, as she was still in bed. When he entered the room, Karma said, "Well, well, there you are," with a bit of disdain in her voice. Then she continued to ask, before Jerry had a chance to say anything, "Where have you been?" Then Jerry finally got the chance to tell her. "Guess what, Karma?" he shouted. "I bought a new truck. Remember, we talked about getting one when we saw that we might be able to get this house, especially with the size of this property. Well, I walked to this dealership and saw exactly what I wanted." "A new truck?" Karma asked. "Well, that's great, Jerry. I'm glad you were able to get it," I can't wait to see it and maybe even drive it a little myself. Then Karma continued to tell Jerry, by the way, I'm continuing to feel so much better. And oh yeah, thanks for staying out of work and taking care of me the whole time. That last expression she made, that is, the whole time, quote unquote, was meant to make him even more aware that though he got what he wanted, he didn't do what he said he would do, and that was not to stay away long. Yes, Jerry did stay away a long time, and Karma let him know it. And yes, again, she made a comment that was derisive in tone. But Karma made this comment about him being away the whole time, as she put it, facetiously, because Jerry had been away for most of the morning and into the afternoon instead of attending to her. Nevertheless, Karma refused to be provoked by Jerry for not keeping his word to return soon back home when he left. Rather, she rejoiced in the truth of God's love for him. She saw the favor that God had for him by the way Jerry had described how he got the truck that he really wanted. It was truly an amazing circumstance, based on how Jerry told it to her. Jerry finally submitted to his wife and tried to redeem himself when he said, Karma, I'm so sorry I was away for a long time. But you know, I'll take care of you, honey. You're my love, Jerry said emphatically, trying his best to make up for being away from her so long. Then Karma responded, being suddenly emotional about the matter. Oh, don't worry about it. You do know you're the best husband in the whole wide world, don't you? Oh, shoot, Karma, you're getting me all emotional, too. But thanks for saying that. You sure make me feel real special. That's because you are special, Dodo, Karma said, again with a bit of sarcasm and with a smile. It was a good afternoon for both Jerry and Karma. He got the vehicle that he needed for his farm, and Karma started feeling a lot better. Soon the kids would be home from school, at least after Jerry picked them up at the bus stop. Yes, life for the Hargroves as a family would return to normal. Jerry looked forward to a pleasant weekend at home before returning to his job at the auto shop the following Monday morning. Jerry's new truck brought years of good service and was one reason his farming operation soon began to flourish. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. When Jerry returned to work, he was met with a full schedule, but as before, on the weekends, he and his family found solace at Faith Tabernacle, where Pastor Henny promoted the concept of positive thinking within a spiritual framework. He had already provided information and guidance, not only on tithing and money management, but also on receiving spiritual insight on how giving of your resources to help others. He would contend in his sermons that helping others is a good seed planted that will eventually produce a harvest. That harvest would be, for an individual as well as for a family, being more effective in navigating around issues and problems in their lives. The exciting thing about the Hargroves experience, and tithing in particular, as inspired by their new pastor, was that many of the church's events that occurred under the previous pastor's leadership were retained. This allowed the whole membership to select among an array of giving strategies, from tithing off the top of their income to financially supporting the various church programs and events as they had done under the previous minister. The Hargroves found tithing was far less complicated than what they had done before, and it worked perfectly for them. The interesting thing was that they began to experience fewer of the money-absorbing issues like replacing or repairing an appliance, car maintenance issues, and other unforeseen expenses. Less of their income was needed for unexpected expenses like what they previously had seen occurring all too frequently. More often than not, they had funds coming in on occasions that they would not expect. One time, Jerry received a check in the mail that he did not anticipate. When he opened the envelope, he found that it was a refund from an overpayment for a recent visit to the dentist. "What a pleasant surprise," Jerry muttered to himself after coming from the mailbox that day. While it was difficult to tie the Hargroves' good fortune exclusively to their giving habits, it was undeniable that life seemed to be much easier, at least financially, since they instituted efficient money management together with continued cheerful giving to the church. Jerry gradually began to have greater expectations that he would establish a very profitable small farming enterprise to help better supplement the income he was receiving at the shop. More importantly, he desired to do something he really loved, something he learned from his grandfather, and that was to give back to the community while doing what he felt he was called to do. Jerry got a lot from the teachings of Pastor Henny. In one message, he talked about how work on the farm corresponded perfectly with the idea of sowing and reaping, a central theme in the concept of tithing. In other words, if you plant a seed, it is a certainty that it will come up out of the ground with proper nourishment and eventually will result in an abundant harvest. And just as plants have to be nurtured as they grow to have abundant produce, household income has to be managed effectively in order to receive the financial benefits of that action. The efficient care of the chickens Jerry had acquired was a major part of the marketing engine on his farm. On one occasion, he was given additional chickens as donations from a local horticulturalist who somehow heard of Jerry's efforts in raising domesticated chickens. The eggs produced had become especially profitable. During a given week, as many as 5 dozen eggs were produced from the hens raised on the farm, with him charging 50 cents for each egg that was sold. The acquisition of chickens and other animals contributed to helping to supplement an already well-established farm that continued to grow. Not to be left out of the action, Karma bought into the idea of tithing as well, and along with Jerry was eager to give testimony of all the family's blessings. Those blessings, she felt, was the result of faithfully giving to the church and their generosity in general. The weekly testimony sessions were held on Thursday evenings at their church, Faith Tabernacle, in which believers would gather to indicate how God had blessed them during the week. But the blessings that were to come in Karma's life would be truly life-changing. Karma had always been interested in helping others, but prior to Jerry getting his truck, she did not have a vehicle available for her to implement her plans. Now, Karma could use the SUV during the day while Jerry had his truck at work. Meanwhile, the kids were large enough to, by themselves, catch the school bus. Karma always looked for ways to help people in the community, but it was taken to a new level one day when she went shopping at a local Market Fresh store near where they lived. She had been there several times before, but on this occasion, upon entering the store, she immediately went over to the bread section and picked up some loaves. She saw a store attendant taking some of them off the shelves and transporting them to a storage room in the back. Karma naturally wondered what was going on. "What are you doing with that bread?" she asked the manager, who was also standing close by. Then the manager replied, "Well, At the end of each week, the store throws away the bread that it did not use during that week so that it can be restocked with fresh bread. She then told him that with her new house and family, not to mention the demands of working a farm, the bread that was being thrown away could help her family a lot. When she told the attendant of Jerry's small farm operation, he contacted the owner of the store and told him of her efforts of having a farm. The owner then decided that the store would gladly give Karma the extra bread if she would agree to come there each week to pick it up. The owner, which happened to be on the premises that day, then came out of his office to make the deal directly with Karma, and she happily agreed. From that point on, she faithfully came to that Market Fresh to receive the loaves of complimentary bread. This story certainly has a biblical basis. Just as the disciples were able to feed the 5,000 because of Jesus' miracle, Karma took what seemed to be an insignificant donation of bread from that local market and was able to help the needy of an entire neighborhood. It was the beginning of Karma's own little business that was in addition to Jerry's farm enterprise. It would turn out not to be so little, however, because the food she received would be more than enough for her family back home, plus enough to distribute extra produce and other food items to the needy in the community. Obviously, this cut down on the family monthly food bill as well. Because of her generosity, very soon Karma became known in the city as the Bread Lady. Her notoriety prompted the Market Fresh store to be even more generous because they noticed her humanitarian efforts in the community and started giving her canned goods as well as their leftover meats that were still safe to consume but were not as fresh as those that had been sold. Karma also received other food items that were not going to be purchased. Soon, she began to increase her trips to the market to receive the extra food the store had waiting for her. The question for Karma became how to give thanks for all the blessings she had received from the store. Karma believed in tithing, so she had to determine how much she would give back to the church in proportion to all the food she was receiving. As Jerry had learned, Karma soon realized that it was not so much the proportion of blessing she was receiving from the store that she would return to the church, such as in a tithe, but rather the attitude and the manner in which she gave back. And that attitude involved being cheerful about giving and not donating because you are compelled in some way. Karma ended up not making a big issue about how much she was giving back to the church based on what she was receiving. What she did was simply give because she knew that it was the right thing to do, and she did it with joy and had no regrets. She simply directed the resources she received to where they were needed. Karma continued to receive goods, more goods, many more goods from the Market Fresh store than she could use for herself, and it got to the point where she was giving away most of what she was receiving. Jerry and Karma also got their children to give. Margie, their youngest daughter, sold fresh lemonade on the street corner where their home was located. She followed her parents' example by giving a tenth of her earnings at the lemonade stand and giving it to their church's Sunday school offering. While it was a small total amount, not nearly as much as her parents gave, but, as Pastor Henny taught, it is the attitude of giving that is important, because that's what God focuses on, the attitude of our heart, the heart being that spirit within us. And with the right attitude, anyone would receive abundantly to the extent in which they give with a sincere heart. The interesting thing was, the way the Hargroves family was giving, taught by Pastor Henney was that it also worked in the other direction in reference to the amount someone was capable of giving. That is to say, if someone is not as fortunate to have as much, that person is not required to give as much. Both Jerry and Karma realize that if you train up a child the way he or she should go, they will not depart from it. The Hargroves kids seem unlikely to depart from their ways either, growing up to be generous, responsible adults. Yes, giving need not be a burden, but something that is cherished, for the benefits will surely follow. As the scripture says, it is better to give than to receive, because if you give, you surely will receive. Yes, Jerry received his desire and established his own farmer's market, due largely to the influence of their new pastor, Pastor Henney, as well as the home training he received from his grandparents and especially his grandfather. And yes, over time, he learned a basic biblical truth, and that is, it is better to give than to receive. Let's take a break, and we'll be back to finish the story and close the show. Welcome back. God's love for Jerry and his family was personified in his life through the wisdom that his new pastor, Pastor Henney, had brought him. It was through his pastor he was instructed in effective money management to maximize the dollars he was bringing in from his farming enterprise. And he had scripture to back him up, only because he was obedient to the word. The word that said he should give back to the church, a tenth of his earnings. Jerry realized this concept may be viewed differently by others, but he laid hold to this biblical precept, one that truly turned his life around, as well as that of his family. God always wants what's best for us. Yes, he showers us with his blessings. But we live in a complex world, a world where injustices sometimes present a challenge to our faith. We are charged to believe, however, in that invisible force, a force that directs all our lives, especially if we abide by that word mentioned earlier, and believe what the Master tells us through the scriptures, and more importantly, act on that belief. Jerry had begun to believe and to act according to his faith, especially in giving. That is what activated divine activity in his life that led to many blessings, Jerry would contend. And foremost among these blessings was the house they were able to acquire from Craigslist, of all places, not to mention the truck that he received. Yes, his wife Karma felt much better that day when he took off work and cared for her. And yes, she demonstrated her love for him as well, calling him the best husband in the whole wide world. And yes, love was personified all around for Jerry and his family that day, and for many years to come. Well, that's all for today. And that's all for the story. Farmer's Market. So remember, whatever you may be going through, whether it's good or bad, just keep in mind that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.